open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, Nathan Zagura, Sir Andrew Gribble in for Matt Wilhelm and Jason Gibbs. Look, it is Cleveland Browns Daily, but let's be honest. The biggest thing in Cleveland in a long time is happening tonight at the Q. It's game six of the NBA Finals between the Cavs and the Warriors. So this will be very much a basketball-themed edition. The Kid will be calling in to tell you what you can expect to see tonight from the modern-day Mamba and much, much more. But Gribbs, it is good to be with you, my brother.
It's always good to be in here. I'm going to be in here for a few days now.
You are. You're about to go on a nice stretch here. Tomorrow it's going to be the Gribbs-Gibbs tandem, and then it'll be me and you again early next week as we get ready. But all right, as you guys are sitting here right now, how are you feeling headed into this game?
Me first?
Yeah, you can go first.
I feel like my optimism has gone down as the game has grown near, but that's normal. That's being from Cleveland. So usually, like, you know, that's the, you know, I felt terrible going into game five. I just felt like there was no hope. And then after the Cavs started the way they did in game five, I felt even worse. And then they turned it on, and then I started feeling awesome. And then the game is over, and I'm like, oh, this series is over. Cavs are coming back to win it. And then as the game gets nearer, then you start getting worried and start getting the anxiety. So that's kind of the stage I'm at right now. I'm cautiously pessimistic is how I term it for all
Cleveland
sports
fandom. You
want to know why
I'm not worried? Because it's over. Steph Curry stinks.
I don't think he stinks. But I think he's not played well this entire series. And I was listening to a pod with Zach Lowe and Van Gundy, and they're talking about MVPs for this series, and I don't even think he can't even be in the discussion.
Right, so there are three players in the history of the NBA who have won the regular season MVP and an NBA title in back-to-back seasons. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Bill Russell. Now, they didn't have a finals MVP award back then, but it's called the Bill Russell Finals MVP Award, so you could imagine that he probably would have been awarded the award had it existed then. If Steph Curry wins it, he would be the only one to do it and not win a finals MVP. Because he's not winning the MVP of this series either.
He might be my fourth choice in the Warriors for this year. If you're just going to pick.
He's the fourth best player on the Warriors.
I disagree with that.
He's the fourth best all-around player on the Warriors.
In this series.
In this series.
Yeah. I mean, I would think at this point, if you're looking at the Warriors, you got to give it as a like playoffs appreciation award for Klay Thompson. Because he's been outstanding throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah, saved their season.
I would think if you're giving it realistically, it's probably, if you're talking about just valuable, it would be Draymond Green. And then I can also make an argument for
Iguodala.
But you know, he's so – it's his irrational confidence against the Cavs that makes him so good. And as a defender. But I don't know how you would – I understood it last year. I don't think you can do it this year when you've had LeBron have a couple of the games that he's had this year.
This year, Steph Curry – score averaged 30 points a game in the regular season. He scored at least 30 in more than half of his games. In 11 NBA Finals games now against the Cavs, he's only scored 30 points twice. He stinks. He's got almost as many turnovers, 22, as assists, 23, in this series. He is being, right now, Kyrie Irving has more points, the same number of assists, fewer turnovers, three times as many steals, and a higher shooting percentage than Steph Stinks Curry in this NBA Finals. The guy stinks. He's the most overrated MVP I've ever seen because somebody call me and tell me, what does Steph Curry do for the Warriors if he's not making his three? What does he do? How does he help them? How does he make them a better team? Turning the ball over, 1-to-1 assist turnover ratio as a point guard? No, he doesn't play defense. No. He's not a rebounder.
Well, I think, and the thing that's been brought up a lot is his defense has gotten worse as the finals have gone on. Because the Cavs, kind of like the Warriors are doing with Love on the floor, the Cavs are going after Curry right now on defense. Because the rest of that team, the most least talked about thing about the Warriors is how good their defense is. I think they play great defense because they have guys that know how to rotate and know how to stick with their guy. And and make switches at the right time. But I think the Cavs are making a concerted effort to go after Curry, not just because he's maybe not the best defender on the team, but also the trickle down of affecting his offense when you keep going after him on defense. You're not letting him moving.
Kyrie Irving's better than he is. If you put Kyrie Irving on those Warriors teams and ask him to play the exact same role, I think he's better than Steph Curry. I think he does more for your team, and I think he's better.
He would have been a challenge coaching-wise, though, I think, initially. The buy-in would have to be great.
But I think you buy into Steve Kerr because he's Steve Kerr.
He's a great coach.
Yeah.
The Cavs, I think, know this, that they can't expect to play like they did in Game 5 and have that kind of repeat performance. You need that Game 3 feel where everyone's feeling, where everyone's playing so much better than they did on the road. You need, like, a J.R. Smith solid performance. You need a Kevin Love appearance, and clearly with what we've seen from Kevin Love, the guy needs to get going in the first quarter, or he might not get going at all. Like, I can't look back on many performances this season where he did nothing in the first half and then came back in the second half.
I'm not even – honest to God, I feel like the Cavs are going to do enough. The role players are going to step up. You're going to get some JR irrational confidence. He could chip in 20 for you in this game. It doesn't matter to me. I am so unimpressed with Steph Curry, and maybe I'm just, you know, poking the bear. I don't care. If he was here right now, I'd rip the mouthpiece out of his mouth, and I'd say, you know what? You stink. I'd hand him a roll of Charmin. You need to wipe it, Steph. You stink.
And there's one thing that makes me feel good about the Cavs, that I'm this argument that is being put out there. I'm not buying that the Warriors are better without Bogut. I can agree.
I don't think so.
I can look at the stats and see clearly the Cavs have been better when Bogut's on the floor, but I think losing a starter at this stage in the playoffs affects everything else you do. I know that there's ways that they can make up for it, and I know he hasn't been playing a ton, but I think there's a trickle-down effect with not having your starting center that's been playing 12 to 15 minutes, has really not done much offensively, but protects the rim and just makes your defense all the round better because other guys are guarding other guys instead of protecting the rim.
He set the tone in, what, was it game two?
Yeah, he was solid. And I think game one, he was scoring a bunch too. That was the rare offense from Bogut. But he was valuable at the rim on defense because this is a physical series and they're not calling a ton of fouls by the rim, and he was able to get away with a lot. And I think he's incredibly valuable on offense and setting screens.
Yep.
The Warriors' famous types of, you know, blurring between the lines of illegal and legal screens, where I remember game four, it seemed like it was a game-changing three-pointer by Curry in the second half that Bogut just set the most egregious screen possible that just knocked over Kyrie, but they didn't call it. And it just was a matter of – but he's good at really going up against the edge and setting effective screens that are maybe illegal but don't get called.
He is good at that, and they will have to replace that. I think if you're the Warriors, though, and you said you can be without Bogut or Draymond, they're happy to have Draymond back and no Bogut, but they probably want both of them in an ideal world. Here's some stuff from ESPN stats and information I think is very, very interesting. So the Warriors are leading 3-2. If they clinch the title on the Cavs court for the second consecutive year, not going to happen, by the way, so we won't even worry about it. Only the second time in history, the Celtics did it against the Lakers in 68 and 69. So this is something that has not happened in nearly 50 years. The Cavaliers are trying to do something equally as rare. Only two teams in NBA Finals history have forced Game 7 after trailing 3-1. The Lakers, who did it in 66, and the Knicks, who did it in 51. Now, I'm guessing that was in the old 2-3-2 model. Right. So that makes it harder to see how you'd force a Game 7, because typically you'd win Game 5, then it would come back. You'd be down 3-1, you'd win Game 5, then you'd have to go 6-7 on the road. This is a different era. I think it's easier. I don't think that's an apples-to-apples stat.
Yeah, and I think I'm almost glad, I mean, this might be a weird argument, that it benefited the Cavs so much, I think, to have this series formatted the way it is, because I think after the loss like they had in Game 4, I think it was good to have an extra day, a trip to kind of clear your head, have all that time in the world for the NBA to mull over that Draymond Green suspension, have the Warriors start talking smack. I mean, I think the extra day of rest between 4 and 5, I think, even though you were going to Golden State and playing out there, I think it benefited the Cavs in a big way, kind of cleared their mind a little bit. Whereas if they had played right on Sunday in Cleveland, I think the Warriors could have had that momentum and wrapped it up in 5.
If this game, this is the third NBA Finals in history where each of the first 5 games has been decided by double-figure points. The first was the 1960 St. Louis Hawks against the Celtics. The second, 1988 Pistons and Lakers. The Warriors have won by 15, 33, and 11. Now, here's something that I do think is actually somewhat interesting. Two teams have won the NBA title with all 4 of their victories by 10 points or more. The 1960 Celtics over the Hawks, which we referenced earlier, and the 2014 Spurs over the Heat.
Interesting.
If that happened to LeBron James twice,
boy.
I don't know. Maybe the double-digit thing to me is overrated because I think unless a game goes down to the wire, the absolute wire, the way that you, the way that now these teams foul back and forth and they're, you know, you see teams, even they're down by eight with like 15 seconds left and are still fouling the other team, sending them to the free throw line. I think those margins can get a little skewed. Like that, like I feel like game four, even though the Warriors won that by double digits, I feel like that game was, as a whole, closer than that. I would not call that game a blowout. You know what I mean? I don't think the margin reflected what that game was.
I think that's fair. All right, Gibbs, where are you at right now? I'm in the go ahead and take a little bit of cash to that window the kid talks about, Cavs winning the series.
I think I need to be talked off the ledge because I think it ends tonight.
Yeah, but you're just negative. I like to be optimistic. You can't argue with the fact that Steph Curry stinks.
No, you are totally wrong on that, by the way.
What do you mean?
He doesn't stink. Number one, he stinks. Number one, I would bet money. Yeah, I would take this to the window that he's hurt right now. And
so everybody's hurt. They played 90 to 100 games of basketball.
I got a feeling it's a little more than just hurt.
I don't see him crying when he's pumping his chest and saying, I'm back.
I'm not making excuses because we didn't have our two best players last year.
Sounds like an excuse.
I'm just saying he's hurt. He's one of the top five players in the league, bro. He doesn't stink.
Stinks.
He doesn't stink. And he led the league in steals, as a caller told me who couldn't wait on hold.
Yeah,
I'm just
and
saying.
That's fine. Has he showed up in the finals?
He has not. Could he be hurt? There's a very, very good chance from people that I've talked to that he's hurt and he will have surgery. But at the end of the day, the Cavs got to take advantage. They got to man up. I don't know if Kyrie and LeBron – I know LeBron can – I don't know if Kyrie can. I need the same effort tonight and the same output that you had in game five. I need it tonight, and I'm going to need it in game seven. Otherwise, you're probably not going to win.
You will, because really the only thing that hurts on Steph Curry is his ego because he's 1-for-9 on wide open threes in this series. Why? Stinks. Come on. I love the game of basketball. I could watch a game where Michael Jordan doesn't shoot the ball well, and I can tell you 20 different ways that he helped his team win that game. He can play lockdown defense. He can rebound. He can pass. He can take care of the basketball. He can get steals. He can hustle. He can do things. He can do something other than – for this is the way that I see, and I could be completely wrong. This is what it sounds like. Steph Curry can do one of three things. He can make a three-point shot, okay? He does that pretty well sometimes, although he's 1-of-9 on uncontested threes, worst of anybody in this finals. He can chew his mouthpiece very, very well, and he can look like E.T. on the bench with that towel over his head.
Fantastic Father's Day gift.
He throws stupid one-handed behind-the-back passes that end up turnovers. I mean, he's already turned the ball over ridiculous.
He hasn't played well. Here's my problem. Number one, that team was down Draymond and Bogut, and with 5 minutes to go in the game, was only down 6 points to the Cavaliers. Number two, Klay Thompson didn't get any touches in the fourth quarter. He had like three touches.
And who controls that?
Exactly.
Steph Curry.
That's what
he's freezing him out. When I played in high school, I had a stretch of 20-point games, and we had a point guard named Matt Lowe who froze me out after that. He was sick of the accolades, the money, the women that were coming my way, and he froze me out. And that's what I think is happening with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
I don't know. I don't have a good feeling, and it's going to make me sick if I have to watch them accept a trophy tonight on our floor.
I don't want to see that at all.
No. I was a witness to it last year in person. I was there. Not only was I there, I had to meet up with Brian Windhorst afterward because he and I do a show every Saturday here on ESPN 850.
When you see him, do you say, hey, Windy?
Sometimes I do. And sometimes he gives me a choice word back when I do that because he knows I'm screwing with him. He goes, you know, we were doing a quick podcast, quick recap of the game, you know, and the series. He goes, meet me in this room. I thought he meant a different room. I walk into this room. This is like 2:00 in the morning at the Q last year. And it's literally the entire Warrior team and their families celebrating and drinking champagne. And it was like the music stopped, like the Mind If I Dance With Your Date moment. And I'm like, sweet, wrong room. And I just hear, get out of here, Cavs guy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. I hate you all. And, yeah, I wish nothing but bad things for you. Trust me, I had a front row seat. I don't want that again. And I fear that's going – and probably because I'm from here and that's the only thing I know and the only thing I realize. But I don't have a good vibe. I haven't had a good vibe, and nothing has changed going into this game.
What about the fact that Steph Curry stinks?
He doesn't stink.
I got one thing.
I'm not impressed. Listen, I'm from the Bay. I grew up – the Warriors were my first basketball team. But I'm all in. I'm all in here. And look, he's not – Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway, run TMC. It was a great era.
Love those guys.
And this Warriors team, when they're playing well, it's fun to watch. But I don't enjoy watching him play. And I love shooters. Believe me, if you wanted to ask about my game in basketball, it was a lot about shooting and not a whole lot of – I only had a nice floor game.
You were a chucker.
I wasn't a chucker. No, I shot a very high percentage. You wanted me to shoot the basketball. But the court tilted a little bit. Like, I could get my speed, my 40 time going to get onto a fast break versus my 40 time getting back on D. It was as if it was tilted like this, Grimps. Mm.
Here's one thing I'm encouraged
Steph
by.
Curry stinks.
I keep hearing the stat that's getting tossed around how many uncontested threes the Warriors missed in the last game. I'm encouraged by that because I think the offense came so easy to the Warriors in games one and two with those just easy layups, easy mid-range jump shots. I think that the Cavs defense has tightened up even though the numbers show that the Warriors should have scored more points in that
list. Well, defense is effort, and that's one thing that does bother me is like they're like, oh, well, we had the effort tonight. Like, these are seven games to win the NBA Finals. Like, how is it that you have more effort some nights than other nights? Shouldn't it be absolute maximum effort every night?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, there are certain athletic endeavors in my life that I promise I give maximum effort every single night. I'm not even getting paid. This is the NBA Finals.
It's nuts, but we've seen it from both teams. I mean, Warriors didn't show up for game three. I mean, period. They weren't there. The Cavs ran all
over.
This
is the other issue. We haven't had a game in this series decided by less than 10 points. And I just don't know how the Cavs are going to respond if we come down to the last minute of the game and we're tied.
I'm getting accused now of, by the way, I just want to say this. I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers season ticket holder. I was never a Warriors season ticket holder ever in my life, okay? And now I'm being accused of trying to reverse jinx it for the Warriors. Like, are you serious? I'm going to the game. I'm wearing my lucky, am I not wearing my lucky Barrio shirt right now?
There is a Cavs shirt on across the way.
That is a Barrio Cavs shirt in a size medium because it's undefeated. And I'm wearing it today. I'm not trying to reverse jinx. I'm not.
No.
I want the Cavs to win. I want it for the city of Cleveland. Am I the biggest LeBron fan that's ever walked the planet? No, I'm not. But I do love the modern-day Mamba. I do love J.R. Smooth. Richard Jefferson, Bear Down, former Arizona Wildcat. Channing Frye, former Arizona Wildcat. There are a lot of Arizona people in this series, by the way. Iggy, and then the son of Bill is an assistant coach for the Warriors.
Do we think Channing Frye plays in it?
I don't know. I'd like to see him come in and make like three threes.
How long is the leash on Kevin Love?
Kevin Love was plus 18, so maybe it's about his floor game.
Didn't we just discuss that maybe that might not be the case? Like, maybe we are giving too much credence to plus minus after that.
If he's rebounding, keep him on the floor as long as you can.
I agree with that.
I thought he played good defense in the last game. The threes that Steph made were actually good defense. Actually, just leave Steph alone. He stinks.
I think he's putting a ton of effort,
I think he is
on,
effort.
On defense,
yeah,
not as much on rebounding.
Look,
and I just need it on both.
We're not running the offense either that we ran when he was thriving, which is when we would feed him the ball in the post like three or four times at the beginning of the game or get at the free throw line extended where he can go to work because he's pretty good at that. But we're not running that offense this game. The offense that we run against the Warriors is one screen, usually from Tristan at the top, and then they go one-on-one. Either Kyrie goes one-on-one or LeBron goes one-on-one. That's our offense. We're not running an offense through Kevin Love, nor should we at this point. I think it'd be foolish to do so, but you'd like to think if Harrison Barnes is guarding him down low that you could get to him and he could just drop step and get nasty.
Yeah, but he's wearing Schmedium t-shirts.
Who?
Kevin Love. So he's not able to bang, you know, to bang bodies as much as he used to be. And when he's gone in the post, they're ripping the ball from him. They're using the looser officiating to their advantage with him, and it just seems like he's not ready to post up in this series. It just hasn't worked.
Let me ask you guys a question, because our friend Gary in Youngstown brings this up, and this is my point, and maybe this is why I'm going on such a Steph tirade. And again, and I will preface it, I am not the biggest LeBron fan in the world. I have a lot of respect for his game. I still don't like the way he left. I think he comes back. I don't like that when he gets pouty, but nonetheless, neither here nor there. If LeBron James were having a finals like Steph Curry is having, it's all anybody would be talking about. Oh, what's wrong with LeBron? He stinks. He's a good loser. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody's talking about the Steph Curry thing. It's like he's a media darling at ESPN, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I think there's a lot of moments where it would be what if LeBron had this kind of game, or what if LeBron's team had the kind of games that they had in OKC game three and four.
What if LeBron stunk and was chewing his mouth peak like a complete D-bag? What would be happening?
A lot.
It'd be getting murdered.
I would say the ESPN ramped it up after game three with Curry a little bit.
Yeah, Curry even called him out. And then he had one good game, and then he goes back to last week being hot garbage. And he scored two. I don't care about that. Well, how does he help his team? He doesn't. Hot garbage.
We'll see. I hope
awaken the sleeping giant.
If he's listening to Cleveland Browns Daily to get his ammunition for this, then he needs to grow up.
Here's my thing. The one big concern or worry I have: if the Warriors go with this great lineup if they start with that lineup,
what is that? Their death ball lineup.
Draymond,
death ball? Will somebody tell me what that means?
With Draymond at the center,
yeah.
Iguodala on the floor as well. If they go with that early and they get off to a hot start, I worry about keep the crowd getting kind of very nervous and the Cavs not responding right away. They had that hot start in game three and just rode that the entire way. I worry if you don't get that kind of hot start, how you respond late first quarter, second quarter to stay in the game.
That's a good point. I think both of these teams are good front-running teams.
Yeah.
I don't know, other than Klay Thompson, not Steph Stink Curry, Klay Thompson bailing them out in game six against the Thunder. They haven't been a great come-from-behind team either in the playoffs.
Correct. But the lead never feels safe against them. Never.
Yeah, because we have this like inflated ego of this guy, like this vision of him being a good basketball player.
Like I said, when he had that 4-point play in game three and the Cavs were up by like 20 at that point, I was still nervous.
Yes, I could have cared less. My Vince Conti friend of the show is calling up. He said his Facebook is blowing up with people talking about how I'm crushing Steph Curry. He's a Warriors fan, but he's one of the biggest LeBron fans in the world. So I think he has torn allegiances in this one. All right, we're going to take our first break. What do you guys think? 216-578-0850. Call your shot. Are you as confident as I am? I think we're winning, and then I think Stinks Curry is melting under the pressure of Game 7. All the pressure in the world switches to the Warriors. 73 wins. That doesn't mean anything if you lose Game 7. Means nothing. Bubkus. All the pressure is on them. In front of their home fans, they're going to get itchy. Steph's going to come out and go like 1 for 12 from 3. Be like, boo. Then it's over. This time's over. I'll tell you this, and ponder this for a second as I continue to trash this guy. You take LeBron James and put him on any team in the NBA, and it's a threat to win its conference. Any team, just LeBron. Because LeBron and four Jamokes went to the finals against the Spurs a while ago. Okay? Put LeBron James on any team, they are a serious contender to win their conference. If you put Steph Curry on a garbage team, Steph Curry is a guy, he was like Kelly Trepucka when the Charlotte Hornets were an expansion team. He's going to give 20, 28 a game, and he's going to win nothing.
That's a great pull, by the way.
Thank you. He looked very good back then. It's ridiculous. By the way, if this guy, if I'm poking the bear, if Steph Curry's listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, we've won already. My point is proven. Stinks. We'll be back.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Stinks Curry Daily. Zagura, Gribbs, Gibbs. We're going back to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. Let's start with Reg in Youngstown. Reg, how are you?
Good. Hey, I was listening to what you were saying. Matt, I agree with you, man. You know how I feel. I don't think Curry is nothing, man, in general. He can shoot a little bit, but that's where it ends at right there. And I'm telling you guys.
That is all he can do. That's my point. If you're the most valuable player right. on your team.
It's bull, man. It's bull.
It's ridiculous.
Bull. Yeah, it is. It is. It actually, how can he be the most valuable player in the league? And then they talk about, Matt, how good his handle. Man, he can't touch Kyrie.
I agree.
People that say that he's as good as Kyrie, it's not. Kyrie gets anywhere on that court he wants to. Just like Stephen A. That's a bad man, man. That boy is bad. I ain't seen no play like that since my favorite player in the NBA was Allen Iverson. That's just who Stephen A. Smith was talking about, how he plays so much just like Allen Iverson. Man, that's a bad man that we got right there, Matt. He's a bad dude, man. Bad dude. And if LeBron comes, if he shows up like he did last game, because I noticed sometimes he has a tendency of, for some reason, of wanting to be Magic Johnson and throwing all them passes and messing up sometimes. But if when he shows up, it's not a player equal dollar none that can match. It ain't nobody out there can stop him when LeBron wants to play. So let's hope that LeBron wants to play tonight. They win tonight, Matt. We win the championship. I guarantee you they'll win the championship.
That's what I'm saying, Reg. We're going to wilt stinks under the hot, bright lights of a Game 7. It's going to be a puddle of stinkiness. That's what he's going to be.
What do you think of the pressure factor? What team has more pressure on them right now?
Tonight? The Cavs.
Cavs, you think?
Yeah.
And then it's all in the Warriors.
And then if they win, it is like an avalanche coming down. It's like Mount Everest avalanching on top of the
But you don't think when you go to a 3-1 and the fact that it's never happened in history, you don't think that there's still pressure on the Warriors with this kind of game tonight?
No, because like if they lose this game, they can still go home and then like they can think that way. But when they get there, when they land and they go into that arena that night, and they know it's all on the line and they've lost now 2 in a row and 3 of the last 4 to this team. And we won 73 games. How are we getting? What about our legacy? What about this? Steph Curry's just like chewing his mouthpiece, doing nothing. Like, what are they going to do?
What do you think about the stat that they've never lost 3 straight with Kerr?
I think it's an
that's insane.
You know what? That's why there's first times for everything.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous to end this historic season with your first ever 3-game losing streak under your coach.
It would be historic. It would be the Cavaliers and the Cleveland curse. Then, of course, you've got, you know, the first time it's ever happened in an NBA Finals, somebody comes back from 3-1. There's a lot of things that are – let's go to Vince Condi, friend of the show, my oldest friend in the world and best friend, Vince Condi. Soon, what's up, bro?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Monsoon, this show's off to a hot start. Steph Curry is only referred to as Stinks Curry on the show. I've name-dropped Kelly Trepuka, and Vince can attest to Matt Lowe freezing me out in high school when he got jealous of my scoring prowess.
Wow. You bro. That sounds like a lot of funny topics there. Yeah, Matt Lowe froze you out a little bit.
It's true.
You think similar to what Steph did to Clay when Clay
exactly.
had 6 threes in the first half the
yeah.
other day, and then he started dribbling around and turning the ball over?
Exactly.
I mean, it was driving me nuts.
Listen to this, Monsoon. Kyrie Irving has more points, the same number of assists, fewer turnovers, 3 times as many steals, and a higher shooting percentage than Stinks Curry in the NBA Finals.
That's true. I mean, the other stat that I saw the other day, though, was that LeBron was 1 point shy of leading every category on both teams.
He's an absolute beast.
That's pretty. I mean, I know you're hard on him sometimes, but that's pretty incredible. He's one of the most versatile athletes, let alone basketball players, that we've ever seen.
All right, so you're a basketball person. By the way, you know what else says a lot about Stinks Curry? If
What's
they
that?
Do win, which I don't think is happening, I think it's over. I think it's a foregone conclusion. But if they do win, Stinks Curry would be the only player in the history of the league to win an MVP, a regular season MVP, NBA title in back-to-back seasons, and not be the best player in the finals either of those years.
Yeah, argument can be made right now that he's the 5th best player in the finals if you're considering both teams. And obviously the main goal is to win a championship.
He's 6th.
You think 6th?
Yes.
Who do you have at 5?
I would say you've got 3 guys on the Warriors. And
who's the 3rd on the Warriors? I see Draymond and Clay.
Dre, Iggy, And then you've got Kyrie and LeBron.
I wouldn't put Iguodala in this series above him yet. He's been doing a better job on the defensive end, obviously. But, I mean, as much as everybody touts Iguodala as a LeBron stopper, if you look at LeBron's numbers against Iguodala in the finals last year and this year, LeBron's torched him.
The only person who stops LeBron James, honest to God, is LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah. It's true.
So what's happening? What's happening? You're my resident basketball expert. What's happening in this game?
The Cavs are going to win tonight. It's going to be a close game. I think they're going to win by 5 or 6, somewhere in there. I think it'll be a, 97, 91, 97, 92, somewhere in there. I think all the momentum from the last game is going to, really help the Cavs coming home. I think that the rotations for the Warriors are in disarray when you bring Bogut out and then you add Draymond back in. Obviously, you'd rather have Draymond than Bogut, but it still changes what they do as far as when they go to their lineup of death, when they go to Draymond at the five. So I think there's a little bit of an adjustment period for the Warriors there, and the Warriors haven't played well on the road this year. They got blown out in Cleveland in Game 3. They were getting blown out in Oklahoma City when they were in Oklahoma City. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with what I picked in the beginning of the series, which is the Warriors in 7.
I don't think there's any way Stinks Curry can come back and with the pressure of Game 7. Don't you think that pressure would be immense?
The pressure on the Cavs is tonight. You don't want to lose on the exact same day as they lost last year in Cleveland, give the Warriors another championship. But like you were mentioning before, if it goes back to Game 7, the pressure's on the Warriors. But historically, Game 7s, the home team wins. I think it's like 84-85% the home team. So, and no team has ever come back from 3-1 in the finals. So there's a lot of pressure on the Warriors. If it goes back to Game 7, I would still give them the edge in that building. That place in Oakland will be going nuts.
Are you going to find a way to get into that building?
I mean, we have to might give Jake Markowitz a call and see what's up. But with the way the ticket prices were for Game 7 in Oklahoma City, I heard it was like $24,000,
$25,000
a seat.
That's just at courtside.
Yeah, still. Is that how much they are in Cleveland?
Not that much. This is Cleveland. All right, so you think tonight, all in, Cavaliers.
I think the Cavs are going to win a good game, yeah.
All right, good. Do you agree with this assessment that I made, my bold take? I don't know if Gribbs likes it, because 2 days ago Gribbs was crushing Kyrie Irving, but now he's on the Kyrie bandwagon. That if Kyrie Irving played for the Warriors in the Steph Curry role, he would be just as prolific, maybe even better.
I wouldn't say just as prolific. I don't think he has quite the spurt ability that Steph Curry has. He has a different skill set. I don't think he has near the same range. He's also the biggest thing. They both are a lot alike in the fact that they've been injury-prone their whole careers, but I think Kyrie even more so. So
yes.
Part of the reason that Steph has been MVP the last 2 years is he's been relatively healthy. His ankles have been fine. He didn't get hurt until the playoffs. So that makes a big difference as well. Although, if you take Kyrie and put him on the Warriors, a case could be made the Warriors still win the championship. Now, if you put Steph on the Cavs, that makes it different. That's a whole different argument.
True. True. I think that they would still win with Kyrie.
I think both teams would win. I
don't know. Kyrie's killing him.
He wasn't in game 1 and 2.
What do you mean, in game 1 and 2? But, I mean, after 2 games, Steph and Klay together were averaging 28 a game. I think it was in through 3 games.
Like, I know we, like, and I don't want to butt in, but just saying. Like,
get in here, Gribbs.
We joke in the NFL about how every week it's a league of overreaction.
Oh, every game in the finals.
And this, finals, this has been to a new level.
That's fun. The
NBA finals is really, I mean, even going back to the Eastern Conference finals with the Cavs, after game 4, we were waving the white flag and worrying about a Toronto OKC finals.
Yeah.
And
Toronto.
You know, I mean, Toronto sounds like a year ago, the Cavs were playing them. I mean, that's how all consuming this finals has been, and just the overreaction. I mean, game 2, the reaction was just trade the whole team. Get everyone out of here.
Everybody.
Start from scratch.
That's right. After game 4 it was over. Now it's not over. The Cavs are winning it.
It's just it's incredible. That's why I want to know what it'll be like if Cavs win game 6. Just the national thinking going into that game will be.
It is going to be. It is going to be. I mean, the pressure on that night. And listen, LeBron has been unbelievable in pressure situations, but you could see LeBron getting. He's also had some games in serious pressure situations where he's kind of wanted to be more of an observer than a participant.
He better not do that tonight or they're in trouble.
No, he can't do that on this
attack mode like he did the last game and get some dunks, get some stuff going to the basket, especially without Bogut there. I mean, it's not like Bogut's in there protecting the rim. Draymond's a good, you know, rim protector, but if Draymond's out 17 feet away from the basket with LeBron, it's two dribbles and a dunk. So he needs to just continue to attack the basket. He can't come out passive tonight.
I don't believe that he will. I mean, this is like Custer's last stand here in Cleveland. Like, let's go. Leave it all
Speaking
out
of
on
passive,
the table.
What's going on with Kevin Love out there in Cleveland? Somebody help me.
I don't know. People hate him. He's I feel bad for him. He's like the most hated, he's probably the most hated man in Cleveland right now.
And you know that I've been a Kevin Love fan all the way.
Huge Kevin Love
fan. He came out of UCLA. He's probably one of my, you know, favorite players in the NBA because I love the way he outlets the ball, one of the best outlet passers in the last 20, 30 years in basketball. He's a great rebounder when he sets his mind to it, and he's a good outside shooter. What I don't understand about the other night when Kyrie and LeBron had it going, why not just go and be a crazy rebounder like you're capable of doing? Who cares if you score any points, but give 12, 13, 14 rebounds and help the team.
Yeah, right.
Four games.
There's more to basketball than scoring. I may have not understood that as a high schooler, but there's more to the game of basketball than just scoring it.
Oh, I'm so glad you put that in there because I was about to throw you under the bus, brother.
I told Grizz, what did I tell you, Grizz? I said my speed getting out on a fast break versus my speed getting back on a fast break, it was like Carl Lewis versus Phil Taylor.
Oh, yeah, downhill and uphill. That court is tilted for Zagura, that was for sure. But on the offensive end, you can shoot that ball, brother. I'll give you that.
That's right. Thank you very much, Monsoon. Always a pleasure. Vince Conti, friend of the show, the original friend of the show.
Have a good show, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Zagura, Gibbs, Gribbs.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We're fired up here for Game 6 of the Cavs and the Warriors. It's really a Cavs game. But I want to tell all of you, you have something to do right at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock when this show is over, go to theplayerstribune.com and read Richard Jefferson's unbelievable article about who we are and just talking about the ride, the season, and what he wants tonight from the fans. And it's awesome. It's really good. And you get a little bit of the background on little Kev, which is always a fun thing. But to say that Richard Jefferson's fired up for tonight's game is an understatement.
He's been awesome. The third most consistent player on this team in the finals, I would say.
Yeah, and the game where he came in and he started when Love was out and turned in, you know, his best performance. Absolutely phenomenal. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. 216-578-0850. We still have Bleacher Dave here. Bleacher Dave, how are you?
What's up, y'all?
What's up, Bleacher Dave? I like the energy.
Yeah, I'm a long-time Warriors season ticket holder, so of course, you know we bring the energy, right?
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. You will bring the energy when it goes back to Oakland, I'm sure.
Nah, you know, I think even the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'll give you guys are funny, man. It's hard to tell if it's a sports show or a comedy show. I'm digging the fact that you're trashing Steph Curry, and yet the Warriors are still up.
It is amazing. That goes to show, though, just how important other people on that team are to the success of it and that they are better than one individual. Would you say, though, are you not disappointed with the way that he has performed in this series?
No, not at all. For me, you know, I pay for my tickets. I don't care as long as they win.
Sure.
I don't care who does what. Just win, baby. That's really all that matters. And I think you also have to realize the dude missed 6 playoff games due to injury.
Correct.
I don't think anybody else left in this series has done that. I'm thinking about this imagery, though. And so Cavs going blackout. And in the event, and I certainly believe the Warriors are going to win on the Cavs' home floor and spray that champagne in the visitors' locker room one more time, the imagery of a crowd dressed in all black on the anniversary date of losing last year would be a lasting image that would all treasure.
Listen,
around here.
The Undertaker is on the side of the Cavaliers, so we've got that going for us, which is,
exactly,
I think,
right. As well, he knows where to make his money. You know, one of the things that bugs me is how much grief that LeBron gets nationally. That is a bad man, dude. He does a lot of stuff. And I think too much of the way we think about and talk about basketball is reflected in just what you brought up. Am I disappointed in how Steph performed? Because ultimately, I think the media, it becomes a narrative about star versus star. I think for fans, we just want our teams to win. We don't care about so much about who gets it done. And I think that is the genius of the Warriors, is that they have somehow figured out how to be more than the sum of the parts, even though, you know, we saw Kyrie and LeBron combine to do something no one had ever done before, 82 points. So I take a lot of comfort from that it took those two guys putting up 80 together combined to beat the Warriors out here.
Without Draymond.
There's no way in heck.
By the way,
Kyrie's a much superior ball handler. He's just not that good of a shooter. Don't think he can repeat that performance. Let's get wet tonight, babies. It's clashing.
All right. Thank you very much for the passion, Bleacher Dave. A respectful discourse with a Warriors fan there.
Yeah.
I do think, though, he brought up, he kind of echoed something we said, the scrutiny LeBron gets. If LeBron were playing like Steph in the series, he would be literally like, he'd be on milk cartons. Like ESPN would do a whole milk carton. Like, where is LeBron? We're looking for LeBron. Yeah. All right. 216-578-0850. Noah in Lakewood, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Noah? How are you, man?
Good.
Are you a Barrio already? You should be a Barrio in Lakewood getting ready, Noah.
No.
Okay. Or not. What's going on, man?
I think the Cavs have a 50-50 shot against the Warriors.
So you're going to go out on a limb there?
What?
All right, 50-50. Noah, appreciate the insights, my dude. Let's go to Mel in Cleveland. Mel.
Oh, sir.
Mel. That's going to be a tough one for you to follow, Mel, so I hope you brought on your A game right now.
I'm going to get you.
All right, let's go on this one, buddy.
I'm a Cavaliers fan. I want my Cavaliers to win.
Me too.
I'm a very big LeBron fan. I've been defending LeBron for a long time against the critics. But you put me in a bad position today.
Why?
If you're going to tell me that Steph Curry is not a great basketball player, then I'm going to have to you just need to cut me off right now. I'm going to have to disqualify you as a your basketball knowledge.
He's a great shooter, but what does he do for that team as an MVP of the league?
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I've seen more than great shooting, and just being a great shooter.
I think
Kyrie's handle is better, but I think Curry's got a great handle.
Yeah.
He goes inside very well. And let me tell you this. And I don't want to defend Curry, but I'm going to defend him on this note.
Go ahead.
I feel that they would have had a very hard time coming out of that Portland series had he not came into that game. I feel that he was very instrumental in them beating Oklahoma City. And I can never count this guy out because him and Klay Thompson can go on. I mean, they can shoot the lights
Listen,
out.
Listen, they wouldn't have not have gotten out of the Oklahoma City series without Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson single-handedly saved them. Let me say this.
Klay Thompson saved them, but Steph Curry closed the deal. That's what you got to remember. If you looking back at that game, Klay Thompson saved them in the sixth game, but Steph Curry closed the deal. You cannot diminish this guy's greatness by elevating LeBron's legacy. LeBron's legacy is already there.
Oh, it's totally they're totally separate.
And people should not do that because I've seen people try to defend Michael Jordan's legacy by diminishing LeBron James. That wasn't right either, but they were doing it. And if you're a basketball fan, appreciate the greatness that these guys bring. Believe me, it's special. I watched the Golden State games this year because I wanted to see what the Cavaliers were going to be up against. This guy is phenomenal at times. You can't take that away from him.
I will not. And you said something that I thought was very, very good right there. He is phenomenal at times. And I agree with that. There are times when Steph Curry is unbelievable because of his ability to shoot. My question is, when you dig deep and look at somebody's floor game and look at them as a complete basketball player, you've got to be able to be a serious asset for your team, even when you're not shooting well, if you are the MVP. There could be games. Michael Jordan didn't shoot well every single game, but he could still affect and take over a game. LeBron James has proven you don't need to shoot the basketball well to be able to completely take over a game. If Steph Curry is not shooting well, he cannot take over a game.
I'll say Steph's phenomenal most of the time. I'll go that far. Hasn't been in the finals, but if we're looking at the full body work,
he's phenomenal. Last year he wasn't hurt either. Last year he wasn't hurt either. And you're talking about a guy, great players, okay, are supposed to get better the bigger the stakes, the bigger the spotlight. They're supposed to be better. You're talking about a guy who goes out there in the regular season and tools around, and when they're up, he does his crazy whoopties and he makes his threes, and then he scores more than 30 points in half of his games. He scored 30 points or more in 2 of 11 finals games.
I'll say there's a difference between this year and last year. I think he had more of an effect on that series last year because I think the Cavs maybe even sold out even more to stop him last year.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Unannounced, the kid is strolling through the halls of Berea. Oh, my God. Finish script.
I lost my train of thought.
I don't know. I saw it. I was like, we've seen it. My God. It's like the Undertaker has emerged. He's here. That's how you know this is a big game in Cleveland, folks. The kid out of nowhere has arrived in Berea. The kid in studio. This is the first time he's been in studio in 18 months.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Ladies and gentlemen, the kid. All right, the kid. I have given Steph Curry a new name. He's only known as Stinks Curry on this show.
Listen, people need the disclaimer here. He really doesn't think that Steph Curry is a not good basketball player. I was listening on the way in. That's not a real assessment. It's you trying to talk him into being hot garbage. Very anti-Cleveland way to do it. We try to talk someone up. You know, it's just a little bit different strategy. The guy still average. What's it? Pull up his averages for the series that you say he stinks in.
Okay.
I think he's got 22 points, 4 assists, and 6 rebounds.
That's the MVP of the league getting better with the lights on bright? And that 22 points skewed by one good game.
I'm not saying he's getting better, but you're making him seem like he's got Kevin Love numbers.
This is what I'm saying. For a guy that is a two-time MVP of the league, he could be the first person in the history of the game to be a back-to-back regular season MVP, back-to-back NBA title winner, and not win one finals MVP.
But he'll have two titles if that happens.
Yeah, but he still stinks Curry, and he's got to live with that.
In any event, I'm here to talk to the fans of Cleveland, talking to myself here.
Go ahead.
That we need right now, forget about predictions, people in the city of Cleveland need to start believing. If we end up getting let down, who cares? For right now, right here, while we stand, we need to walk into that arena believing that we're going to win because there's a different energy that the crowd brings. It can't bring that nervous energy. It's got to bring the crazy energy. And the only way that happens is if you suspend any doubt in your mind and think that they're going to win the game. Drips knows what I'm talking about.
And I was talking about that during the break. This game six, like last year's game six was like the definition of nervous energy.
Absolutely.
Because we all agreed. It just
we knew we
over.
Were losing.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think it's going to be different tonight than it was last year.
Steph Curry is shooting 42% from the floor. Stinks. He is not matching Kyrie's scoring, his assists, his turnover ratio, or anything.
Listen, I haven't gotten to the modern day Mamba yet. You know my feelings, but I'm not comparing him to Kyrie because, in my opinion, I wouldn't take him over Kyrie.
4.4 turnovers a game.
I understand, but his real shooting percentage, when you factor in three-pointers, is probably a lot closer to 50%.
1 for 9 on uncontested threes, worst of anybody in the series.
And you don't believe that – you want to give him open looks tonight?
Yeah, I let him – I think he stinks.
Well, me, I don't want to give him open looks. So you can give me that stat till you're blue in the face. I still don't want Steph Curry.
I don't want him to get off, but I think if you keep giving him a hard time, I think that he wilts. I think he pouts a little bit when his shot's not going in. This is why I am saying what I'm saying. His floor game, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, I was saying this earlier, could have a bad shooting game and still control the tempo,
the flow of the game.
He's
not those guys.
He's the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association. He's the most valuable player on his own team.
Okay, but he was the best player on his team, and the team went 73-9, so he was going to get it. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not LeBron James.
I would take Klay Thompson over him right now.
Well, Klay Thompson scares me a lot as well.
Scares me more.
I think Klay's gotten so – I mean, the guy is improving like crazy too. He's ascending right now.
He is ascending.
Yeah, and that's
amazing. And he plays defense. He rebounds. He can do other things. My point is Steph Curry right now, with the way that he's careless with the basketball – doesn't help them. If he's not shooting, he doesn't make them a better team. He is a what? Right now, he's an unidimensional player, which
he's
is not
better
an
at
MVP
the other
makes.
Things than you think. A one-dimensional player.
He's not good at stopping
many,
Kyrie Irving.
How many assists?
The modern day Mamba.
Nobody stops Kyrie Irving except Kyrie Irving.
Okay. I don't know. They're giving me they don't have. I'm looking for 4.4 turnovers. That's all I keep seeing, and shooting less than 50%.
I'm just saying that he's better than you're giving him credit for.
Fine. He's a great player. But when you're the two-time MVP of the National Basketball Association and what I would consider to be one of the golden age of superstars in the National Basketball Association, I expect you, with the lights on bright, to be better than you were in the regular season. Averaged more, scored more than 30 points in half his games here. He's done it two times only in 11 finals appearances. Give me a break. And I'll tell you this. If it goes to Game 7, he doesn't eat pressure for breakfast. He's his best shooting, and this is one of the things that was in the stats things you can look up. He's at his best shooting when they're ahead. He's at his worst shooting when they're behind. Not a pressure guy. He's a front runner.
But so are the Cavs.
These are two great front running teams.
Yes, so are the Cavs.
Fine. All right, so talk about the Mamba then.
The modern-day Mamba. Do we got a break coming up here? Because this may take some time. All right, well this is going to be the tease, Gibbs.
Yes.
When we come back, you'll hear my soliloquy on the modern-day Mamba.